Welcome back to the Physician Syndicate podcast. I'm your host, Greg, doing a quick solo show by myself to talk really about one topic, but first just some housekeeping notes. We'll have a couple episodes dropping over the next few days with a couple really interesting physician founders of companies that are doing really intriguing things from those two founders. So the first interview from earlier today, actually, that I need to go back and edit is Dr. Shiv Rao, who is the CEO and co-founder of Abridge, which is one of the ambient listening technologies. He actually walked me through a demo of the platform, very cool platform. I think there's some things that they're bringing out that aren't public yet, so we won't talk too much about that. But that's the first interview. And then the second was Dr. Jennifer Schneider, who is the CEO and co-founder of Homeward, which is a incubation actually within General Catalyst, where she was a entrepreneur in residence. So we go deep into really General Catalyst, their strategy around healthcare companies, around digital health companies. It's a very good interview. Both fantastic people. And so those will drop later this week. But today, we're going to chat a little bit about Apple. All right. So if you've been living under a rock over the last 24 hours since this dropped, I guess 18-ish, Apple had their Worldwide Developer Conference. Why am I talking about Apple? So Apple went through kind of all their updates, and then at the very end, they talk about the thing that a lot of people were anticipating coming out, but now is actually here. So Apple unveiled, similar to what they did with the iPhone back in, I think, 2006 or 2007, the Apple Vision Pro. What it is their take on kind of the virtual reality, augmented reality space. So this is a augmented reality headset that, if you haven't seen it, it looks kind of like a really, really nice pair of ski goggles or snowboarding goggles. But it's interesting because it has a lot of the qualities that people wish that something like the Oculus had. So the Oculus, if you've never heard of that or have never used it, never seen it, it was a standalone company that Facebook acquired. They changed their name to Meta largely because of this, right? They were creating the metaverse. And the Oculus is not, you can't see through it. So you can't see, you know, reality around you. So you can't see your bedroom if you're in your bedroom, or your kitchen if you're in your kitchen. You only see what's visible in that virtual reality headset. That's the key difference between what Apple is putting out and what other people in the market and the AR VR market have put out traditionally, which is, again, these, you know, complete immersion in virtual reality. But by going into augmented reality to the point that you can not only just see a screen when you're using the Vision Pro, you can actually see the world around you and you can interact with that world. So I encourage you, and I'll put it into the show notes, take a look at the YouTube video of what the Vision Pro potentially will be able to do. Again, this is all marketing materials that they have coming out right now. You can't actually get your hands on this. It probably won't be out until 2024. But the potential ramifications that it has for medicine are extremely interesting. So there's a lot of companies that have been working on augmented reality, different augmented reality solutions for physicians, whether it's for surgeons for surgical mapping or proceduralists doing procedures where you can layer on top, you know, x-ray images, CT images, MRI images, so that you can actually see kind of what you're doing in real time. They're using, I actually don't know what they're using. I'll have to go back and look, but there's a lot of companies that are starting to build within that space. And now you have likely, with Apple, something that is better than what's currently on the market for augmented reality. So when you think about the uses in medicine, you go from anywhere from medical education to, you know, if you think about being in the anatomy lab, maybe you don't need an anatomy lab anymore. Maybe you can just go through and, you know, look at a cadaver on your Apple Vision Pro. I don't know. But it's an interesting time, right? So things are changing, and I don't think medicine is going to be immune to seeing a lot of these changes affect how we practice medicine, how we think about medicine, how we think about medical education. Also, just the work that you can do on something like this headset. So, you know, when basically within the YouTube video, you see people being able to expand their screens, put up different, you know, like iMessage and Safari and photos or videos from their family trips, or watching an Apple TV show on a gigantic screen, because you can do anything. You can manipulate what you're seeing on the screen by just using hand movements. And so when you think about something like, you know, radiology, my specialty, when you're outside of the hospital, and let's say you don't have your laptop on you, or you're maybe you are using your laptop, you're very limited in kind of the size of the screen that you can use. Like even some people using some of these, you know, specialized AI companies that send images directly to your iPhone or to your Android, scrolling through images on a tiny, tiny phone, like a 4 or 5 inch phone, is very different than potentially putting on a headset where you can expand that out and you can get monitor sized, you know, mixed reality computer stations that you can use to actually go through diagnostic imaging. That's actually pretty cool. Or even bigger, right? You can go to movie theater sized screens or larger. And so it's, you know, we'll see what it actually looks like when it comes out, and, you know, how many pixels they have per square inch and all that kind of stuff. But it's an extremely innovative technology. And I think everyone was, you know, waiting and anticipating, what is Apple going to do within this space because of Meta, because of all these companies that are creating augmented reality technologies. Apple needed to come out with something different. It needed to come out with something polished, because it's Apple, right? Like Apple has a ton to lose when you think about bringing out new products. Tim Cook, I don't think he's had a major product line that he's put out himself. You know, Steve Jobs was there for the iPhone. He was there for the iPod. He was there for the iPad, I think, the MacBook. All of these things were Steve Jobs. Tim Cook, this might be his ability, his chance to kind of put a stamp on bringing out something creative that gives them a new product line. And this is a really interesting product line. It's also extremely expensive. I think the starting MSRP price is going to be like $34.99. So it's not an Oculus, you know, $600 headset. It's a pretty serious headset with apparently a lot of really cool tech. So the way that you actually interact with some of the screens is using your eyes. So it's actually going to track your eye movements to see, what are you looking at? So like if you're looking at Netflix or some other streaming service, you'll be able to use your eyes to kind of click on what you want to do or what you want to watch. And then there's very fine gesturing that you can do with your hands to like scroll the page. I honestly don't know how that works. They must have external cameras that are going to be looking around your entire environment and seeing your hands scroll through. It's an interesting technology that I think does have application within medicine. Probably not a ton, right? Like proceduralist for sure. I can imagine, you know, within an interventional suite, having the ability to layer on top of the actual patient their, you know, anatomical scans from their CT. That's actually super interesting, right? Like, and then you layer on top, potentially like you're using ultrasound, and then it's going into, you know, real-time presentation on your screen instead of having to look, you know, turn your head to the right, look at the ultrasound while you're holding the ultrasound probe, while you're holding a needle. Like, there's a lot of things that go on in an interventional suite. And it's the same thing with surgery. It's the same thing with any other procedural specialty. You have a lot of things going on at once, and the more efficient you can be, then likely the better outcomes that you're going to have. So I can imagine that actually kind of creeping its way into medicine through procedural specialties. And then also I can imagine things like telehealth appointments. You know, if you have a physician using one of these headsets where it feels like you're actually in the room with a patient, and maybe the patient has one too. But again, the starting price is just so high. But eventually these prices are going to come down with figuring out how do you actually construct some of these things cheaper. But I can imagine, you know, telehealth appointments being done over some kind of augmented reality headset where you and the patient almost feel like you're in the same room together. The other cool thing that they did was showed kind of what does FaceTime look like using the headset. And it's interesting because it basically has internal cameras that are looking at your facial reactions, and it's recreating that or somehow and mapping that out to put a very realistic, I guess it's an avatar, up for other people to see when you're actually talking to them on FaceTime. So rather than, you know, Meta and the Oculus, they have these kind of like emoji style avatars. This is much more kind of photorealistic, and you could actually see like hand gestures and stuff. So it's going to be much more usable than the stuff that's out on the market right now. Anyways, I would love to, if there's anybody listening that has experience using augmented reality within medicine, whether that's for procedures or something else or medical education, I'd love to have you on to talk about it, because I would love to know kind of what your experience is with the technologies that are currently available, and then where you think it's going to go with, you know, Apple entering the market with, I think, a really sleek design. And it's, you know, time will tell kind of how useful it ends up being in all of these different modalities in medicine and not in medicine. But I wouldn't bet against Apple bringing out products. Like, even the iWatch took a few generations for it to really become a useful technology. But now you look around, most people, not most people, but a lot of people have an iWatch or at least a smartwatch. And I don't think this is dissimilar. Like, I think maybe the first generation is going to be a little bit difficult to use. They're going to have a lot of new technology that comes out with each generation. But in 10, 15 years, I imagine this is going to be widely used, again, mostly because it's augmented reality. I don't think virtual reality, I really don't believe in that much. I think that's a lot more of a fad, where unless you're like a hardcore gamer that really loves virtual reality, I don't know too many people that use, you know, an Oculus headset very often. I remember I used it once when we were building out Flip and D. We had a company that sent us the headset just to show us their technology, because they were going to use the platform. And it was cool. Like, it basically transported you to the room that they were in. And they had this like special camera that can look around the room and take, you know, a bunch of images so that you can actually move your head around and be able to see where you are in real space and stuff like that. It is cool, but it's not something that I could see myself using more than once a month or something like that, or for very specific reasons. With the augmented reality, though, where you have the ability to go, you know, in and out of the kind of virtual world. So you can sit on your couch and you can answer emails not looking at a screen. That's kind of cool. I mean, you are looking at a screen because it's, you know, right next to your eyeballs, but you don't have a computer on your lap. You just have this headset that can then create a 40-foot screen for you to go and answer your emails or to go watch a movie. Like, that's pretty cool. And the other thing that it does is allows people to kind of see, are you available to talk? You know, are you just like looking at emails, and it'll actually show your eyes? I don't know if it's like the camera showing your eyes or if it's actually like a transparent screen where you're able to see through it and somebody can see through the screen on the other side and see your eyes. That I'm not too sure about. But it also like change whether or not they can see your eyes, but depends on like how deep you are into whatever you're doing. So if you're watching a movie and you don't want to be disturbed by somebody, it basically will just show that, hey, they're clearly watching something. I can't see their eyes at all. And so they also had like the demonstration of a person on a flight that I think there was like a screaming kid, and the person, the narration was like, you can go, you know, immerse yourself as deep as you want to. And so the person basically like immersed themselves in this like beautiful, I don't know, maybe it was like a Norwegian fjord, and they were watching a movie. It's like they were sitting on the shore watching a movie while they're in a plane with crying kids. Anyways, you know, drop me a line if you have thoughts on where this can potentially go. I do think it's an interesting space. There's probably going to be a ton of people developing apps on this new operating system, which I think is called Vision OS or something like that. It's basically, they're calling it like a spatial operating system. Anyways, yeah, that was a very quick episode, and we'll see you probably tomorrow on the Physicians Advocate podcast. Thanks for joining.
Thank you for tuning in to today's episode. As always, we'd like to remind you that the information and opinions expressed on this podcast are for educational and entertainment purposes only and should not be construed as financial or investment advice. Before making any investment decisions, we strongly recommend that you consult with your lawyer, tax professional, and financial planner. Keep in mind that investing in startups can be extremely risky, and there's a potential for loss of your entire investment. Remember to always conduct thorough research and consider your risk tolerance before making any financial decisions. Stay informed, and we look forward to having you join us on our next episode of the Physician Syndicate Podcast.